In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You probably noticed that the candle in the Advent wreath is pink or rose this week. That is because this is Gaudete Sunday, and that comes from the Latin word rejoice. In the early church, Advent was a penitential season like Lent, a time of sober reflection and fasting to prepare for Christmas. This Sunday was set aside as a foretaste of the coming celebration, a little respite in the penitential season. Now, we see this idea of rejoicing in our first three readings for today. In Zephaniah, we are told to sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Our canticle, the first song of Isaiah, professes, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and sure defense, and he will be my savior. Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing from the spring of salvation. And Philippians declares, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. So here are these three readings calling us to rejoice, and then comes our gospel reading. We are joined again with John the Baptist, that striking prophet, the voice calling out in the wilderness, calling for God's way to be made ready, God's path made straight, hills and mountains lowered and valleys raised up. A crowd has amassed to hear his prophetic word, to heed his call. He calls them a brood of vipers and demands repentance. There's not a lot of rejoicing in the words of the prophet. So there might seem to be a bit of a dichotomy happening between these readings. But before we dismiss this as a weird and mistaken pairing of scripture, let's take a closer look at the core message from John today. In response to his powerful words, the people ask him, what should we do? What should we do to prepare the way, make straight the path, and to repent? In response, he gives a shocking answer, not like his earlier words with their dread and warning. Shocking in how simple they are. If you have two coats, take one and give it to someone who has none. If you have more food than you need, give it to someone who has none. If you are collecting taxes from someone, only take what is prescribed, not more. If you are a soldier, do not abuse your power by making threats and false accusations so that you can extort money from them. I don't know about you, but these are some pretty simple commands. Boil them down to their essence, and what you have is share, be fair, don't bully. This is some real playground wisdom, some real kindergarten knowledge. This brood of vipers is being reminded what we teach our children. Be a decent human being. Taking a look at the crowd who John is preaching to will reveal more to us. Certainly a large portion of them would be ordinary Jewish citizens, men and women who make up everyday society. There are some other interesting groups of note present as well, such as tax collectors. Now, they would have largely been looked down upon with scorn and suspicion by their fellow Jews. But here they are, drawn by the words of this prophet. And he tells them, these pariahs of society, do the right thing. Be just. We have soldiers in the crowd. They are not just there to witness these events or to act as crowd control if things get out of hand. They add their own voices to the assembly, asking the prophet, what should we do? Many of them, if not all of them, would not have been Jews. They would be Gentiles, outsiders, gathered from far and distant lands, people who look and act differently than the rest of the community. John does not send them away. He does not deem them unworthy of the good news he is preaching. Instead, he tells them, do the right thing. Do not abuse others. What we see here is a diverse gathering. Respectable citizens and society's pariahs pressed shoulder to shoulder, responding to the same call, receiving the same word of God. We find Jews and Gentiles, the outsider, the stranger, pressed shoulder to shoulder with the familiar and accepted. They are being seen as the same in the eyes of God and so receiving the same command to live a good and decent life. The people ask, how do you prepare for the coming of the Lord? And the answer is that it starts here and now. It starts in your everyday life with your everyday interactions with others. If you are fortunate to have more than others, share it with them so that they might benefit. If you have a position of privilege over others, don't take advantage of them. Deal with them fairly and honestly. If you hold power and responsibility over others, do not abuse them, holding the threat of violence and punishment over them. Protect them and safeguard them. So simple, any child can learn and repeat this. Share. Be fair. Don't bully. Pair this then with our earlier calls of rejoicing, and I think it all becomes a more coherent message. Give these simple gifts, these simple acts of charity, these simple acts of civility, these simple acts of decency to your fellow man. Do it with joy and gladness in your hearts. Rejoice because we all have received a great and wonderful gift. A son has been given to us, born into this world so that he could save this world. We are being called not only to recognize this birth, not only to rejoice at this birth, but we are being called to partake in this birth, to create in our hearts a humble manger where that child can be born, so that his love can grow and flourish in us, so that we can become a part of his living body, so that we, by our simple acts of charity, civility and respect can share his love with this world. Rejoice because the birth of Jesus is drawing near. Rejoice because he has called you by name to follow him and to live your life in his love. And his is a love that surpasses and outstrips all human understanding. Amen.